don't have it. I thought that was a Stevie Wonder bump. That's Wonder by Natalie Merchant. Big difference. Hey, good afternoon on the East Coast, good morning on the West Coast, and a great day to you wherever and whenever you may be listening. My name is Jason Dias, broadcasting live from the studios of eloquentonline.net in beautiful sunny New Braunfels, Texas, and going out to Alabama. He was our guest last time we did a show. Today he's the co-host. His name is Mr. David Tuyo. Hey, David, how are you?
I'm good. How are you today?
It's good to have you on the show. I appreciate it. I know you're taking some time out of your vacation, but we got some really cool guests today. We're back, I think one of the longest breaks we've ever taken, but we had a lot of stuff going on here in town. My son wrapping up 9 years at Cross Lutheran Church and School, moving on to high school. And speaking of high school, David, I did not know this. You've heard the song Talking About Your Generation. I'm letting down my generation. I did not know it was Ferris Bueller Day.
It is Ferris Bueller's Day Off. And I'm taking one.
Yes, you are. I think I'm going to. I am too. The show is all the work I'm going to do today. And so that is really cool. Obviously a movie that, I mean, if you're my age, you saw it and it was awesome. We were talking about it in the pre-show, which again, as I say many times, I wish y'all could hear the pre-show sometimes, but there's actually no way of recording that. So we don't. Anyway, we're back on the air and it's summer 2015. We are closing in on 100,000 listens to the show all time. And one of the only people, I think the only person that gets their own musical intro, her name is Sarah Cook from the CU Times. Never stop. Hey, Sarah, how are you?
Good. How are you doing, Jason?
It
I'm
is
just relieved
so
to be here.
Good to have you back. I swear, I was telling David in the pre-show, you'd think I've never done this before. I haven't done it in 3 weeks, and I'm sitting there looking for the buttons and everything anyway. It's been a while since you were on. We got to this point on this particular show because you put out an email I thought was very interesting. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But I was looking at your email signature, and there was something on the bottom that said Foley Award for Top Women in Media. So tell me about that. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I had a previous boss come to me and suggested that I apply for that award. And what Folio is to publishing what Credit Union Times is to credit unions. It's a publication about publishing. And so, I was very excited to hear back that I made the list and heading out Monday to New York for the luncheon to celebrate.
All
so
right.
Very excited about that. Thank you.
Very cool. Very cool. And like I said, it's
congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, David.
Well, it's very unusual for y'all to send out the blast emails, but I got the one about the Target and MasterCard thing. And as you know, Sarah, I'm not the best reader. Sometimes I scan emails, as you can tell, when I send you back questions that you've already answered. But tell us. It sounds like a big deal. Tell us about the Target MasterCard issue.
Yeah, so I'm just going to have a little background here. So back in November 2013 through early December 2013, right before the holiday season, during the peak of the sales season, all U.S. Target stores data was breached. And so 70 million customers' personal information was stolen through one of its stolen vendors, or vendors' credentials were stolen. So vendor management, very important. But also, Co-op said that it accounted for 27% of all its fraud at the time. And as of February 2014 was the last data I could find, the trades are saying this has cost credit union specifically $30 million. So the lawsuit settlement that was suggested, it was a deal broker between MasterCard and Target, was to pay out $19 million in settlement for the agreement. And they needed, in order for that to be approved, they needed 90% of MasterCard issuers to accept and move forward with that judgment. And needless to say, they did not hit that number, that 90% of the prosecutors didn't agree to the settlement. So you know, $19 million. It didn't even cover credit union's cost to replace all those cards, much less all of the costs, which I've seen numbers north of $200 million. So, yeah. We're going to move. Go ahead.
The last information I saw was from the Wall Street Journal, and they put out an article. Now, this article is dated because, to your point, you mentioned $70 million affected, whereas they were only representing $40 million at the time. But they said that actual losses at that point, not projected actual, were $350 million.
Right, and Target's trying to get away with paying 19. So, yeah, obviously a huge issue for credit unions. And we actually ran a poll on our site to find out, you know, what credit unions thought of that. Should they be excited about the deal falling through? And we had quite a few respondents within the first day. 31% said, yeah, Target will have to pay. 43% were a little less excited about it. It said maybe, but it's going to be a long road ahead going through all the legal channels. And another 25% said, no, credit unions will never see a dime. So, generally positive feelings from credit unions, from our readers at least, but certainly it will be a long legal road.
Yeah.
So, you know, obviously this is a hot topic amongst others coming up with, you know, EMV and a lot of people just thinking about how that's going to affect and transitions. What are the hot topics going to be for the credit union times, or, you know, for the remainder of the year, or more importantly, the near term over the summer?
Yeah, I think, EMV is definitely one of them as that deadline's approaching. And I think the last stats I saw said 50% aren't ready for it. then also, just the other day, unfortunately, Wall Street Journal and not us broke the news that FinCEN, Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, was looking into credit unions' ability to monitor money laundering, of particularly related to the money services businesses. They got a leaked report and really scathing indictment, making credit unions look inadequate and incompetent regarding BSA and all those sorts of regulations. And particularly NCUA looked inadequate in overseeing that. But they also, you know, they weren't even included in the report or used as a resource for the report. So, you know, they're viewed also as out of the loop. I thought it was terrible all around.
Well, as always, you guys always are covered. Like I said many times, you guys cover this stuff and allow me to understand it, because I can't read through the documents and stuff the way you guys do. You always stay on top of all of that stuff. I was actually up in D.C. in May and was like, hey, this is kind of where Sarah hangs around. But one of the things that I talked about in the pre-show with David was this, like I said, 9-year journey I've been on. And a big part of it was something I didn't know a whole lot about, and that was a volleyball. And it's a big deal at this small private school. And it's a very competitive sport. It's a very compelling sport. And I just had to ask, because I know you're a fan, do you think there's ever going to be a time in the near future where there is a real professional women's volleyball league in the United States, kind of on par with the WNBA?
Yeah, no.
Yeah,
I'd love
to
say
that.
Unfortunately,
but, not. I don't.
I mean, I think, you know, when they started requiring the outdoor beach volleyball players to wear bikinis, that kind of showed you the reason,
yeah,
you know, why people were watching or not.
Right.
And indoor, there really is less excuse to be that gratuitous, I suppose you could call it, even though these women are amazing athletes.
Yeah, I actually forgot about that they do feature the beach volleyball. Did have quite a following, and I know it was a big deal during the Olympics, but I'm like you. I'm talking more about, you know, inside, on the court, some of these athletes in college. I mean, it's just crazy. To me, it, you know, you don't see women slam dunking a lot, but some of these spikes and saves, it's a pretty exciting sport. Anyway, hey, listen, one other question. Is it true that tomorrow is your birthday?
Yes, tomorrow.
That's awesome. I gotta shorten that, Bob. No, seriously, happy birthday to you, Sarah. Great, great stuff.
Thank you. As always.
Try to get you back on the monthly rotation here, because, like I said, you guys stay on top of it all. If it's happening, you can read about it in the CU Times. Hey, listen, you have a great, great weekend out there, and we'll talk to you very, very soon.
Yeah, thank you, Jason. Thank you, David.
Take care. Bye.
Thank you. Happy day.
Bye. earlier, you know, David, it just seems to me sometimes like every time the credit unions are on their way up, something happens, you know, financially that impacts everybody in kind of a negative way. You know, way back when it was the corporate credit unions, I remember the credit union I was consulting with started with $100,000 in the hole, you know, January 1, welcome to the new year. And now, of course, all of this other stuff. Anyway, I know it's a big deal. Anything specifically going on at your credit union about, or you're just going to kind of wait and see what happens?
Well, there's always something going on, you know, whether it's fraud cases or whatnot. Now, in particular, our credit union is based in Southeast Florida, which is considered a high-risk market. It's rated in top five for almost any category of fraud. So we're always, you know, aware and paying attention, you know, even on the fringe with the, you know, what's coming down the potential, running different scenarios, running different income simulations to see what the effect is, and then developing a plan that essentially the series of levers that we can pull should these things happen. A lot coming down, a lot from the CFPB, a lot going on regulatorily. There's some good information, of course, coming mainly about Target, how financial institutions are coming together to say, look, this isn't going to work for us. Let's see if we can't partner together to really make sure that this is an appropriate situation. So those are all good trends that we're seeing, and some fantastic wording being sent out from D.C. regarding regulation and reg relief and so on and so forth. I think some really innovative things going on with defining what is a smaller or small credit union, and I think that could be expanded upon as well. So I think that, yeah, we're always going to have our hurdles. We're always going to have our speed bumps, but I think that we have enough passionate, visionary, especially young leaders coming up the ranks that I think are going to be able to help lead us well into the future. So very excited about that. I'm excited about our movement probably more so now in light of all the adversity that we're facing than probably I have been in the last 10 years.
Yeah, I do too. I feel the same way. I feel like, oh, well, you know, you're always going to have these regulatory things and unforeseen things. But it's great that you talked about young leaders, because coming up next, although their audience is primarily young school kids and folks that are learning about financial literacy for the first time, the NYIB has a lot of young people in it that help run it. They're one of our favorite brands here on the show, and they have their big conference coming up here in Texas. And I want to remind, because I put it in the show description, I did not watch Texas Rising. Because, candidly, I don't think Texas needs a movie to explain it. I think Texas is rising right now, as a matter of fact. I think this is probably the most prosperous time in the history of Texas. And I'm a Texan. I was born here. I'm exactly the kind of Texan that drives everybody crazy, that thinks Texas is better and the best at everything. But we are going to be – NYIB is going to have their show in San Antonio. Great conference city. If you've ever been to a conference in San Antonio, you know it's a great, fun conference city. And so Mandy Clayton from the great state of Texas, from Niederville, Texas, and Five Point Credit Union is going to join us right after this, right after that. Too. I did not turn on the air conditioner before the show. Like I said, David, you'd think I'd never done this before. Hey, Mandy, how are you?
Hey, I'm fabulous. How are you guys?
It is so good to have you on the show. Thank you for joining us. Hey, all right, you guys are going to be coming down to Texas. But first, tell us a bit about you. Tell us about Mandy Clayton and your career with credit unions up to this point.
Well, I've been in the credit union industry for a little over 12 years. I actually was a teller before I transferred off to Sam Houston State University for about 6 months or so. And then I've been here at Five Point Credit Union in Nederland for a little over 12 years now. So I started off in marketing and community relations, and we did financial education through there. And since fall of 2008, I've been the full-time Director of Financial Education, going in the schools and the community from pre-kindergarten through adults, teaching financial education. So,
so getting back to the event that's coming up in San Antonio, I personally have never been to San Antonio. But the topic and the organization, NYIB, is very interesting to me. If you could tell us a little bit about NYIB and then a little bit about the conference, is it too late to register or something that definitely want to put on the calendar?
No, it's not too late. We're still accepting registrations into July. The hotel deadline is July 7th, but, you know, we can always work possibly something out, but, of course, with the registration for sure. NYIB was started in the 70s, and it was started to lower the age of their average credit union member. And it hasn't lowered it a whole lot, but it has lowered it slightly. And the basic goal of NYIB is equipping the credit union industry itself with reaching youth. So our main focus is financial education, youth marketing, and in-school branches, and that is what the conference will encompass, different paths for each one of those.
That's really cool. Now,
real quick, so what is the average age at 5 Point?
The average age of 5 Point, you're going to put me on the spot.
Okay,
I haven't checked it very lately. I don't know, probably par for the credit unions, right about, you know, 35, 37. I may be totally wrong with that because literally I'm out of the office 99% of the time.
Well, I'll tell you what.
I will tell you that we did have, you know, that is a real concern regarding the age of membership and how we're able to take a look at it. If you take a look at the infographic from a few times, Sarah Cook was just on the call prior to you joining us, and they had an infographic out, I want to say, a couple weeks ago, and showing that, you know, as far as credit unions penetration of the millennials and Gen Y, it's still very anemic. So very excited to see what you're doing here, and the work is definitely needed for our industry.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you, I told you this, Mandy. I was asking, I don't usually do hashtags, but I know you young people like hashtags. So I got your conference hashtag so I could post that with the show later this afternoon. And I told Leah that I don't think you guys get enough support, to be perfectly honest about it, from the credit union marketplace. And I know there's a lot of people out there doing youth education and financial education, but I host an internal podcast for a big credit union out in Florida, and we had somebody on from the virtual lending department, and she was talking about how kids come out of high school and don't even know how to apply for a loan, don't even really know where to go to apply for a loan, don't know how to even start the process or understand the concept of interest and, you know, the consequences of being late or even letting a small loan go into default. So I think it's great that the NYIB is out there doing the stuff that you guys do. I know you got your conference coming up this summer. What are the cool things that are on the calendar this year for you guys?
Well, we are trying to do more webinars and getting more people involved. And they've always said it, the best-kept secret NYIB out there. It is a volunteer-based organization. All the executive committee are volunteer. We all hold full-time jobs and try to cover our regions as best we can. Another thing we're really looking forward to is a revamp in our website and our way of reporting. And it's been huge with legislators over the past two or three years that they're just not – they're like, oh, the numbers are great. How many people are you reaching? But what kind of impact are you having? So
right.
That's something we were diving into really last year, and we're going to continue with that. Actually, one of our breakout sessions is measuring the impact and measuring ROI, because a lot of people in my position across the country, I'm very fortunate because my CEO is very, very supportive of it.
Mm-hmm.
But some of them, they're like, oh, well, it's not really bringing a whole lot back as far as income or, you know, ROI. So how are we measuring it? Luckily, Eric, I haven't had that problem, but how do we measure that? And that's one of the things that we're really going to look at, measuring impact, measuring ROI, and how it affects us with
financial education. I'll tell you what. Mandy, I'm gonna talk about this a little bit. If you have to hang up when we're finished here, I get that. But if you listen back to the show later, I'm gonna talk about that very thing, the concept of metrics and measurement. And I know exactly what you mean. Some CEOs are like, hey, by all means, let's get out there and educate the young people. I mean, the most important thing is the young people remember the brand if they don't remember the message. And there are others who don't see an immediate return on investment, and so they don't see value. That is the very short-sighted kind. I don't blame the NYIB for the anemic you know, growth in terms of youth. I blame the leadership who had the ability to veto or support more outreach into that young demographic 10 years ago, when the kids that are getting into their work life now really need a credit union. So listen, we're big fans of the NYIB. Mandy, I know you guys can have a great, great conference. San Antonio is a great, great city. I know, because I'm only about 20 miles north of it here in New Braunfels. I hope I get to come down and see you guys in some of the more informal settings. Troy, who co-hosts this show normally each week, he's at a wedding in Ohio. I think he's actually on the board, or actually is part of the NYIB. Troy Hall from South Carolina Federal Credit
Union.
He
has helped us out in a lot of ways in the past. Yeah. So we adore Troy. So
yep, so do we.
But
so
it's going to be a fun time.
Sometimes. Sometime, no.
No, Troy's, I said it's awesome. Going to be a fun time. Yes, we always adore Troy.
Hey, listen, Mandy, best of luck to you and the NYIB and everybody out there doing the great stuff that y'all are doing. You have a great day.
Thank you, too.
All right. Mandy, thank you. Yeah. And with 8 minutes left, David and I will wrap it up right after this. All right, we're back rolling all the DMV bumps today. All right, first things, we've got about 7 minutes here, David. Like I said, I'm sorry. I've been totally erratic today. It's the first time I've done this show in 3 weeks. I've got a message on the screen here from Blog Talk that they're working on audio. I can hear you all fine. I don't think there's any audio issues on this end. But the first thing I would say, and you can tell me if I'm right or wrong, like I said, NYIB is the best-kept secret. I wish they were not a secret. I wish more people knew about them. My nickel's worth of free advice to those guys would be, first of all, don't call anything you do a webinar. I honestly believe that word has a negative connotation assigned to it when it is introduced to the Gen Z or the millennials, whatever we're calling that, you know, pre-voting age demographic that buys movie mm-hmm. tickets and downloads apps and plays games and begs their parents for Clash of Clans tokens and stuff like that. So what do you think? Webinar?
I agree with you're saying you're definitely webinar, PowerPoint. Those are definitely things of the past.
In fact, I would challenge the NYIB at the conference in San Antonio just to tell all of its speakers, we don't allow PowerPoint. We spoke to over, 200,000 people. You've been to our events, David. You saw people up on the tables dancing and the music that we play and all that stuff. We never used one single PowerPoint slide. And 26 standing ovations in a row is nothing to sneeze at. But that would be my just one thing. I mean, like I said, I know PowerPoint is what it is. But anyway, before, because I always forget to say things and I don't want to forget this. First of all, I want to thank Sarah for jumping on. I want to thank Mandy for jumping on. David, I want to thank you for filling in on less than 24 hours notice. It is Ferris Bueller Day, but I was thinking about this concept of metrics, because this is something that I was actually doing a little voicemail about the other day. This goes back to 2003, big, gigantic credit union down in San Antonio, and I just did a training session, and it was funny, and it was generations, and people were laughing and cutting up. And so one of the trainers, who never cracked a smile the whole time, asked me to come back to her little cubicle and says, okay, well, how do we measure the impact of the training? And I'm like, the training that ended 5 minutes ago? And she goes, yes. What are your metrics? And I said, the fact that nobody had to go to the back of the room and stand up to keep from falling asleep like they did in your session. It was just like, what do you mean metrics? You know, I think sometimes we overanalyze things. Troy calls it, I forget, he has a great phrase for it, paralysis by analysis. And I, like I said, I just wish –
So a couple of things there. One, I mean, as a career, kind of EVP and CFO of different size organizations, we're always looking at metrics and they can be very, misleading. You know, you got to be careful what kind of logic you're going to take from that. There's sometimes we get some bad logic that we may come to a conclusion that, certain items aren't good when in all reality it's just, it's just how we're looking at the data. So metrics are very critical. It makes you choose the right ones and measure the right ones. But with that being said, I think our business model is so unique in the fact that we can take a more strategic, long-term approach to the business and to serving our members and growing our business, that, you know, sometimes we do get a little bit bank-like in the fact that, okay, look, what are we doing from ROI and quarterly earnings and that kind of thing, when all reality, we do have a longer horizon, longer time frame than a lot of our the for-profit financial institutions do. And so with that being said, you know, leveraging that for the future, like you mentioned earlier, these other creators that focused on the next generation years ago are now reaping those benefits.
Yep.
I mean, to have
I totally agree.
You know, 5 point, they're in the 30s, you know.
I was surprised, too. I was like, that's not old. That is not old. Yeah, their creators would kill to be in the 30s. That's actually really, really good.
What we benchmark against is the average age of our area, of our market. So,
right.
You know, if the average age in the United States is 39 and your membership is 47 in your community charter, you would assume that, you know, if your community charter, you would have like to have an age that's more reflective of what that demographic is. And so, you know, obviously that's a concern. But down there, I tell you what, having been in the 30s in Texas like that, that's phenomenal. They're doing a great job down there at 5 Point.
Well, and this is the thing. I think the saying all politics is local. I think all banking is local. And Texas is in a very unique situation right now where Niederville, that whole area, really all of Texas, is benefiting from two gigantic oil shales, the Eagle Ford and the one out in West Texas. Houston, Texas, is probably the most prosperous city on the face of the earth. And so you got, you know, young people who are skipping college to go work in an oil field for 5 or 6 years because they can make $120,000, $130,000. And maybe they had an event at their middle school back in the day and remembered a credit union where they could deposit their first check. And that's why I think you see so much of the growth. It is a unique place here in Texas, and not just unique. I think it's actually a great place and a better place for people to be doing business. Hey, Dave,
well,
before we get out of here, go ahead. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got about 2 minutes. Go ahead.
Well, I think just real quick to that point, you're talking about technology and digital, and you got to think about how we insert ourselves in our members' lives and in people's lives in general. And you take somebody that, like you said, is making that kind of money. They're typically at that age. They might be working on a rig out in the Gulf of Mexico. They might be doing work up in North Dakota. They're not worried about branches. You know, they want to see what is that virtual experience. What is that experience via my iPhone or via my Android device or whatever it might be. So definitely something to think about. It's a great point, especially there in Texas, all the success that you're currently enjoying.
Yeah. Well, listen, folks, before we get on out of here, I think, believe me, metrics are important. The most important metrics are you making more money at your credit union than you're sending out to other people? Are you having new people come to your brand and open an account and apply for loans online and maybe even on paper still and on their smartphone app and stuff like that? But I believe there is a chronology out there that if you're meeting this chronology for the just quintessential average American family, you're going to have all the success you ever need. And I think it is, we wake up, what day is it? Where are we going? What are we eating? What are we doing? What time is pickup? Did you bring a lunch? Did you take the form? Do you have your homework? How was your day? What's for dinner? What's on Netflix? What's on Amazon Prime? Let's get ready for tomorrow. What day is it? What are we doing? Good night. I love you. God bless you. I think if you meet that chronology of the American family with your products and services and availability, David, I think you'll be in business forever.
I would definitely not disagree with that. I think you're spot on.
All right. Hey, folks, until next we speak. David, thanks again. I know you're on vacation. I appreciate you hopping on. Until next we speak, everybody, I'll talk
Always
to you.
Always a pleasure.
Talk to you all next week. Take care.
That's all, folks.